Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad we have a new friend with us, folks. Bruce Poontip is with us. Bruce is the founder of G Adventures, which is a travel agency, but it's no ordinary travel agency. It's a global company serving 100,000 customers in any given year. He's got over 1,000 employees, and it's just not like he just operates on an unassigned frequency. He dances to the tune of a different drummer than you and I do, and his book is called Loop Tail, How One Company Changed the World by Reinventing Business. Bruce Poontip, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Have you ever heard, in the military, we used to say when someone was not like everybody else, we always said, we said that they operated on an unassigned frequency. And, you know, reading your book and knowing a little bit about you, Bruce, and by the way, coming from me, that's actually a compliment. So,
oh, thanks. I take it as a compliment.
Yeah, because I'm kind of like that myself. I don't, as my wife says, yeah, you have that kind of mind. But anyway, congratulations on the book. Congratulations on your success. Tell the audience what was going on when you founded G Adventures.
Well, I mean, we're 23 years old. I mean, and we've been in startup mode. We've been double-digit growth for 23 years.
Wow.
But the travel industry in the world and the travel sphere was very different in 1990.
You've lived through a complete paradigm shift in the travel industry, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, not only that, though, the world. I mean, people have to remember life before the internet, before email, even before the fax machine.
Right.
So people researched travel very differently. You didn't know. You didn't have pictures at your fingertips of what Africa looked like or what Asia looked like, and you relied on a common travel agent or you bought a guidebook, right?
Right.
And you just went. And the only travel that was available back then was cruises, resorts, or coach tours.
Right.
There was nothing else. Or you went backpacking. Those are the only options. So that was my eureka moment when I said, well, there's got to be people that you know, want something in between there, that either want, that don't want to go backpacking, but want that cultural immersion and that you know, that free kind
so
of...
So in 1990, did you envision this niche?
Yes, yeah, I did. So that's what, I mean, that's when we started. Like, there was nothing like us when we started.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So we were, we were very disruptive back in 1990. We wanted to disrupt the common tour. Like,
right.
A common tour would have been a coach tour, like on a bus with a Western guide.
Right.
Usually you have an English-speaking guide, and you stay at a local Best Western or Hilton Hotel.
What did your model look like?
Well, back then is different than now. I mean, we've obviously...
What did it look like back then?
Well, we wanted to almost organize backpacking when we started. It was like to get people into comfortable hotels, but locally owned, family run, take local transportation, have a local guide,
right,
and have it all be a local experience to create like a mm-hmm. cultural immersion type experience. But then the world changed.
In other words, the other tours were almost like going to a zoo, right? You got to see the animals, but you still got to feel like you were at home.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you were trying to help them to be part of the environment, be more part of the environment, and maybe even not look like a tourist.
Exactly. I mean, to create a local experience. The tour companies back then used to do everything possible to make you feel like you had all the comforts of home.
Right.
Our first brochure said, if you want the comforts of home, we suggest you stay at home.
Yeah.
And if you want to travel, you should feel like you're in another country. And if you don't feel like you're in the country, we didn't do our job.
And so with that, you launched your company, and it mm-hmm. resonated. And over time, more and more people came and told their friends, and you have double-digit growth. But in order to accomplish that growth, you had to build an organization.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, we had to convince people of something completely new. It was revolutionary, really. Like the idea of a tour, if advertised in the newspaper,
right.
Tours to Thailand, people would think of a coach tour. They would think of, so we had to advertise like a whole new concept
right.
About people travel. And our secret sauce really is the fact that we created something so unique. We were able to export tourism by not just selling in North America. We were able to convince Germans to book an African safari with a Canadian company.
Right.
Because it was so unique and so different at the time. We were able to export services and export the common tour, which was ludicrous to think before the internet that people would want to book when they have thousands of local options to book African safaris.
What was your first blink level? Where was your first pain in creating an organization to grow this kind of a business model?
Well, the first pain would be the fact that we opened in North America, and North Americans only get 2 week holiday. That mm-hmm. was the first thing that I never researched. North Americans don't get as much holidays, and
that's right.
You know, there was nothing that I couldn't Google it. But you know, that in Britain they get 4 weeks, and France they get 5 weeks, Germany they get 6 weeks, Australia,
right.
You know, they work between holidays, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and you know, I wanted to take people to far flung places, but they didn't physically have the time off work.
Right.
And
most Americans, when we're gone more than a week, we get twitchy.
Yeah, well, and you know, if you want to go to Africa, it takes, you know, a couple of days to get there and
that's
a couple
right.
days to get back.
Yeah, yeah.
So you end up only in Africa for 5 days, or if you want to go to Mongolia, if you want to go to Tibet, right. it's just a couple of days getting there.
So what did you do about that?
Well, that's why I decided I had to export tourism. I started reading.
Yeah.
And again, like in those days, you read. I went to libraries, literally, to find out that other
So you identified a niche. You identified a niche, but you found out that the people you originally thought would want the niche couldn't really afford the niche, so to speak, at least the time. And so you had to go offshore, didn't you?
Yes. Well, unless you know, all of our customers were people that were in between careers, taking leave of absence,
independently wealthy,
or older, or they, you know, in between jobs, they'd ask for a month off before starting another job.
Right.
All these kind of, and some people got holidays off, but it was not an open market.
Right. Right. So, all right. So, where's the book available?
That was the motivation to export.
Here's what you learned. You learned that it's okay to fall in love with what you do, but you can't fall in love with how you do it. You learned
that
the original idea of America, you had to make that adjustment. And that's called reinventing yourself, folks. The book is called Loop Tale, How One Company Changed the World by Reinventing Business. I'm going to get more into some of his business reinvention ideas after these messages. 20 after, I'm Jim Blassingame. Bruce Poontip is our guest.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.